Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 19th of November, recording at 5:31 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being the Friday audio, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various different asset categories. But since many people, including myself, have lots of positions open in these incredibly exciting markets, I will also touch on the short term, and I'm going to start on that here with global stock markets, because the most important thing is that we do, as you'll be aware, and as I've mentioned before, we do have a very overbought short-term condition. Now, so far, we've been seeing a rising consolidation, and that's very likely going to spill over into a bit of a pullback. Now, how big that pullback will be is going to depend on some other factors, not least being the rebound that we're starting to see now in petroleum prices. Crude oil, for instance, is up over $2 as I speak. Now, of course, the petroleum sector has taken a beating, but I maintain that this is one of the supply and elasticity trades, therefore it is in a secular bull market, along with all the others, and that we haven't been seeing anything other than what I suspect is a medium-term correction. And of course, if we get a strong rebound in here, as we're seeing today, then people start to say, well, no, maybe that was just another very short-term correction. But more on that in a moment. But let's look at the background here for these world stock markets once again. This has been a very good run from the mid-August lows. I don't feel that it's over. I think that subject to what happens largely with this oil price, if that doesn't get more than a bit of a bounce, in other words, it fails to go back and retest the highs, then I suspect that this stock market rally will push through the rest of the year and into the first quarter, possibly well into the first quarter of 2005. Slight concern is that I gather from Christopher Wood's comments today and some other things that I've picked up that this is becoming, or that view that I've just expressed is becoming a bit of a consensus. In other words, that the rally will run through and into at least February before there's a reality check. The driving factors here are liquidity and the fact that the oil price did peak and fall back quite sharply, and that President Bush was re-elected. And I think the key thing there, it definitely helped the markets that it was Bush rather than Kerry. You know, on the better the devil you know than the one you don't know, especially if what you do know about the one you don't know is that he was going to raise taxes. Big factor, though, I suspect, on the election was just ending the uncertainty and not having a contested result. So I think there's still a little bit more mileage left in that. I think there's still a fair amount of liquidity around among institutional investment managers, so I don't think we're going to see any great swan dive here by markets. But oil is the critical variable, and for the moment, at any rate, it has stopped going down, and it would not be unreasonable to assume that that was pretty much it. Even though I'm saying medium-term correction, that we may have seen enough. It's just that I'm not looking for a resumption of that bull market anytime soon. But that's the hunch. We have to see what the charts divulge, and people are worrying about the oil price today. Now, the background to all this is Wall Street's secular bear market, which I have described. When I talk about secular bear market, incidentally, new subscribers will, and a good many old subscribers, when I first talked about Wall Street in those terms, there was a lot of sort of anguish and people feeling, oh my God, you know, that there's not going to be any opportunity to make money, or I'm actually going to lose money here over the next generation or so, another, you know, approximately 18 to 20 years. Well, not necessarily, and that need not be the case at all, and provided we recognize what's going on and know how to protect ourselves. Now, as I've stressed, that my definition of a secular bear market is a generational long period during which we see PE ratio contraction and yields rising, not on a straight line basis, but in rolling waves. And the reason why the PE ratios go up and the PE ratios go down, PE ratio contraction and the yields go up, is that investors find that they're not in a 1990s environment, just as back in the late 60s and 1970s they discovered that they were not in a 1950s and early 1960s type of environment. Therefore, markets are not performing as well, they're getting some bungee jumps on the downside, and people become more conservative and are willing to pay less for equities. That's one factor. And then you do get growth during that period, which helps to improve the valuations. So that's the overall background. Now, that doesn't affect all markets similarly. I'm on record in the last few years as saying that the S&P peaked, and that peak will probably last for a decade at least, and that the 2000 peak I'm referring to, and that the NASDAQ, and I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't 30, 40 years before the NASDAQ gets through its high. But some other markets will do exceptionally well, and I think in this environment, the supply and elasticity theme and globalization, those two big themes are going to favor emerging markets. And the emerging markets that may do best overall are the ones that benefit from both globalization and supply and elasticity in commodity prices. But having said that, I mean, among the best performing emerging markets this year, certainly those East European markets. And again, if you think Europe, I'd think Eastern Europe. I wouldn't be thinking necessarily the other markets, although they have done extremely well in the recent run-up that we've seen from the mid-August lows. Now, one of the reasons for that, of course, is that because there is an enormous amount of liquidity sloshing around the system. And I posted that chart, it must have been about a fortnight ago, showing just the bank credit analyst was showing global liquidity at an all-time high. And markets are, if nothing else, all about sentiment and liquidity. In other words, we need both. Now, for instance, I could be very bullish, but if I don't have any money, any liquidity, then that's not going to affect the markets. And equally, I could have tons of liquidity, but if I'm not bullish, it's not going to affect the stock markets. Well, we've seen recently, we've certainly got record liquidity, and we have had a powerful revival of bullishness, and I don't think it's over, with that one caveat regarding oil prices not running back to, let alone through their highs. Okay, now among developed markets, my favorite on a long-term basis, and it's really a wallflower in here right now, is Japan. But I don't think it's going to lag for all that much longer. And again, Japan, having seen a secular bear market from the beginning of 1990, right on through to about, depending on which index you're looking at, but if you look at the Nikkei 225, as most people do, right on through to April of last year, it's a better candidate to outperform. But remember the Wall Street leash. When Wall Street is either benign in the form of being neutral, ranging sideways, a benign influence, meaning that it's ranging just sideways, let alone rallying, then the emerging markets can do extremely well. The risk for those markets is when Wall Street gets its periodic bungee jumps. Now, I don't think one of those is imminent, and I'm not worried about that really, again with my oil caveat, until we get well into that first quarter of next year. But we'll see. We'll see what actually happens. But when Wall Street is weak, then it there is the, what I refer to as the Wall Street leash effect, and it tends to rein in the other markets in direct proportion to the weakness that we see on Wall Street. It's just a mild correction. Some markets, fashionable markets in the commodity sector, for instance, might not even blink. And we saw some of that during the sort of gradual ranging consolidation that Wall Street has seen. However, if we get a bigger pullback, we get a sharp pullback, then that will tend to rein markets in. Okay, what else have I got to mention here? Government bonds. I maintain that a secular bear market is underway and that they are an accident waiting to happen. Now, maybe this is going to be a slow motion affair, but the big move is on the downside, and I'm a little annoyed with myself that I didn't take on another baby step short position in the US 30-year Treasury bond futures. They were up as high as 113.20. I thought about it, but that doesn't make any money, does it? And they're currently down 28 at 112.25, so over a full point off that high in here. I think the trigger for that was a Greenspan comment that with a weak dollar and so on, the US couldn't assume that foreigners would always be wanting to buy the debt. Well, I think he's a bit pessimistic on that, but we will see. How do I reconcile that comment with what I've just said about the bonds being an accident waiting to happen? I don't think it's so much that the Chinese or the Japanese are going to pull the plug. They could, in theory, that could certainly happen. But I just think U.S. investors will really shift their thinking. I think it's a gradual process taking place, where having talked about deflation, having hoped for deflation even, and certainly feared it, as I've said in the last couple of years, the next problem is inflation, not deflation. Okay, now moving on to the currencies here. This has been interesting recently, having been dull for such a long time, and it's been rewarding recently. Anybody who's played the dollar downward break, and actually we saw the signs, just some very clear evidence of dollar weakness before it broke to new lows on the dollar index. I posted that chart again today, because the pattern was so big, and we started to see it go in the middle of that trading range, as you recall if you've been following Comment of the Day and the audios. Now, today, I think Greenspan again said whether another one of his comments on the expressing some concern about the deficits, current account deficit, and so on, that added to the dollar's weakness, and that kind of swamped the latest well, today's jawboning on the part of the ECB and various European officials. No doubt there'll be some hand-wringing during the G20 meeting over the weekend, and there may well be some sort of communique on Monday, which may trouble a few of the dollar bears temporarily. But I've seen enough currency trends to know when you get a big one, when you get the dollar, whether it's up or down. And don't forget what a big, powerful 5-year bull run we had in the dollar before the topping out process commenced in early 2000 and carried on for the next couple of years, leading up to the decline that we've seen over the last couple of years. Now, Once these moves build up a head of steam, they are very, very difficult to stop. And I don't think that the ECB jawboning is going to do the trick. If the ECB actually went in and intervened, as a number of European politicos are screaming they should, that really would trigger a small rally in the dollar, reaction in the euro, for instance. And there would be a knock-on effect, but it's not going to break this trend, in my view. And what I've mentioned again on the walls, on the website here today is that I wouldn't be surprised if this dollar move continues until we get multilateral intervention. Now, where might that occur? Well, my hunch is that it's unlikely to occur before the dollar index moves below that 80 level that you can see on that long-term monthly chart. That was the bottom that we saw, I think, from that 19, starting from 1991 through 1995. That's the historic lows. Now, that's not a forecast saying that the U.S. is going to get concerned and come in and agree to multilateral support operation at that level. I'm saying something different, and I'll just repeat it here. I'm saying that I would be surprised if the U.S. agreed to participate in a multilateral current intervention until we have at least seen that 80 level breach. But that's a guess. It's a guess on my part. What certainly is important historical evidence is that it is tough to slow these moves in the big or to completely check these moves in the big reserve currencies, and you don't get a bigger reserve currency than the US dollar. And I think therefore that this trend will carry on, and that speculators will become increasingly emboldened, and therefore I'm going to continue to play it. My chosen vehicle has been very much the Australian dollar, as you probably know. Now, having said all this, I am not in the dollar collapse school, partly because the US economy is too good vis-a-vis Europe, and a dollar collapse would be a bigger problem for all the other countries of the world than it would be for the US. So I just don't think that's going to happen. However, will it fall further? I don't see any shred of evidence that it won't fall somewhat further. The main factor here, I know I had someone saying to me today, well, how can this possibly happen? The Euroland economy is so much weaker than the US, and we know they're not going to generate that much growth. And so on. How can this actually be taking place? If anything, US interest rates will go up, and same person saying, if anything, the European interest rates are more likely to go down. Well, it's supply, trend, and sentiment. I mean, there are one heck of a lot of dollars that have been created by the Fed. Far more than, say, the ECB, than the quantity of euros that the ECB has created in the last 2 or 3 years. So that's supply, and then we've got the trend, and then sentiment moves in line with the trend. Okay, moving on to the metals, my supply and elasticity trades. This is a very, very bullish sector overall. We're still in the early stages of it. I maintain that just about all of these natural resources, the industrial commodities, we take those industrial commodities, are buys on setbacks. And they occasionally get some pretty dramatic setbacks. The metals certainly do. Those are thin markets. And when we get crowding, hedge fund crowding, then they are very vulnerable to some extremely sharp moves, and it wouldn't be beyond some of the big importers, at least China, to from time to time, if everybody's piggybacking on their own demand, to pull out or announce that they pulled out for a while and let the market get a shakeout and so on. We're going to see this. It goes with the territory. But it is a secular bull market, and my policy on this is to accumulate on setbacks, to run the trends, and protect those positions with trailing stops. I see this going on for a number of years, and it's interesting that gold has led this current breakout in the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. Lead also hit a new high. Now while the precious metals are firm in here today, gold's been as high as 448.35, currently a dollar below that, 90 cents below that. All the precious metals, platinum I see is down a little bit in here today, but the others are up. Silver at 760 on the December contract. Palladium back was down. Palladium was as low as 214.50. That was a buying opportunity for somebody. It's currently 220.50 on the December contract. But what we have seen here today is a little bit of profit taking in the base metals. Not all of them, definitely a little profit taking. Well, yes, it is. Looks like it is just about every one of them. Although the U.S. copper contract is currently at 50 cents, but the LME was down today. Now, lead, you know, I jammed up my stop, and I may get shaken out on that. It's not that far away, but that was down 19 in here today at 9.57. But that's had one heck of a run and actually touched a new high yesterday. So when I talk about shakeouts down $19, that's certainly no big deal, but we get these periodic bungee jumps in the base metals, and those have been buying opportunities, and I suspect they will remain buying opportunities. Last but not least, the soft commodities. I've mentioned that these are dirt cheap, and they are starting to recover in here. I'm back in the money on coffee overall, although I'm well ahead in the March contract and a little bit behind a bit behind still in the January contract. But the point I want to stress here, on particularly on the grain and bean complex, cotton, is that they are say historically very cheap. There isn't going to be any catalyst that will push them up that I can think of in the short term, unless, and this is the biggie, China starts buying once again. Now that could happen at any time. I think it will happen. I think China would be crazy not to be buying at these prices. Now, if we want crop news, then I think we're going to have to wait a few months, and people start to worry about that late in the first quarter of the year. So, despite these being, say, dirt cheap, without the Chinese demand, we're unlikely to see any big rally take place. I think we will get the Chinese buying, but tactically, they're very much a baby step situation where one doesn't pay up, one buys on the setbacks within these ranging patterns, and then lightens a little bit on the rallies. Read my baby steps notes in the in the forum if you want more info on that. Okay, how are we wrapping up here today? I just say the Dow's down 104. It has been lower. The stage oil's up a couple of dollars, as I'd mentioned before. Have an excellent weekend.